Salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Jared, let me give you a heads up. It's garbled. Stuff's garbled in my ear a little bit like it was yesterday when we first got started. The intro was garbled. Luckily, I knew it and could sing right along with it in my head. But just giving you a pass that along, I don't know if it's that way for everybody else in the queue or not.
It's all better now.
All right, there you go. Thanks, sir. Hey, morning, folks. Morning. I'm digging something up here right here at the last moment like I always do. Lord always hits me with something. And I'm trying to find exactly where that is. And I maybe will not hear in a second. I'm going to find it. Welcome. Welcome, man. We got a lot of stuff going on, man. Big Rich is already down in Texas. Jim Kraft, I was driven all the way from Ohio, and he's probably somewhere close. The Sarge, Kevin Bushy, he has a saga to tell. He got he was the watchman in Branson, Missouri. Flew out Monday. See, this is Wednesday, isn't it? Yeah, he flew out Monday. And his plane got delayed. He had to spend the night, Monday night, in Chicago. And so then he flew from Chicago to Maine and found out that he was getting home only in time, basically to meet his wife at the airport, pick up new clothes, get back on a plane and fly to Texas. Except his wife, there was a confusion there with his wife, and she got there 10 minutes late, and he couldn't get on that plane. So therefore, he had to wait till the afternoon to fly out, and he still is not – he was in Branson, Missouri last weekend, and he's still not in Texas and been on the road ever since. So, Sarge, we appreciate your efforts out there, everything that's going on. We have an army. God's army is descending upon Rockport. Ray LeBlanc, Ray's already down there. Ray's, can you jump in there real quick, Ray? Is a guy who got there last night and is driven in there for the first time. Just tell folks what you just told us off the air, Ray. What'd you see there?
He just joined.
Are you there, Ray?
He just joined. Ask him again.
Okay. Hey, Ray, I just called on you, man, to tell us what you just saw when you rolled in there. Ray's camping out in his camper right now. He's having a little bit of power issues. If you're able
I just got kicked off, Coach.
Well, you're back on.
I didn't
now.
Hear things. Back on.
Well, okay, here's what Sorry. I ask you, Ray. As a guy who hasn't seen it, now has pulled in there and saw it yesterday firsthand, pulled into Rockport and saw it firsthand. Just for those who are listening right now, what was your reaction, Ray?
Well, there's all I saw coming into the Rockport. I came through there first and then into Corpus Christi. And 20 miles out, I started seeing the devastation. The main road coming in. Can you still hear me or am I garbled?
Yeah, no, yep. We got you. Go ahead.
Okay. Just trees and trees and trees and garbage. All the billboard signs, the main frame is there, but the inner, the signs themselves, all blown out. Every single one of them.
Some of them broken right in half, aren't they?
Amazing. And, every side street, every around there, they're still all crushed. And I saw a truck still sitting out a little pond, a hill with water all around it, where at one time it was a road. He still can't get down there to get his truck. Just that one little spot where it's a high rise where his truck's sitting. So there's a lot of damage.
Yeah, it looks like they might need a little bit of help down there. Well, we're going to be down there this weekend, Ray.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm glad you're already there. Hey, listen, I got several things I want to cover here real quickly before we dive into what I really want to talk about. The Mother's Day Massacre 11, the 11 people who were arrested in Lexington, Kentucky on the day before Mother's Day for blocking the abortion clinic entrance. All 11 guys yesterday had to return to court in Louisville. And yesterday, the case was totally, completely dismissed. No charges. They walked out of there free men, free women, no fine, no court costs. They walked out of there free. Now, here's the good news about that.
Amen.
Yes, sir, Serge. Here's the good news about that. You know, the feds have filed face charges against them. federal access to clinic entrances, federal fence. But the feds aren't going to have much of a case if the locals didn't even charge them. The locals dropped all charges. They didn't. So the feds are going to have to try to come in and try to make up something when the locals said there really wasn't even anything that happened there. So, I want to say Chris Keys was one of those guys that was rescuing. Now he's down in Port Arthur doing rescues down there. I just want, folks, listen, I want you to understand something. The Lord stands ready and able, ready, willing, and able. He's ready, willing, and able to move on our behalf. The Lord is. The Lord is ready, willing, and able to move on our behalf. But we have got to offer him a sacrifice. It's the only way that he can operate. He has to have, we've got to give him a sacrifice. We've got to give him something to work with. And those 11 people who went down there on Mother's Day weekend and sat down and blocked the abortion clinic, or in spite of, or not fearing the retribution of the government. They didn't care. They offered up a sacrifice to the Lord. Their lives, they sat down, blocked this clinic. Gives the Lord a chance to move. And you may not think it's a big thing. I think it's a big thing. I think it's a big thing that they dropped those charges against those folks yesterday. They were charged with simple trespassing. And probably if you'd ask every one of them, they'd have been happy having simple trespassing. They'd probably been happy with that. The judge would, and it's a $200 fine trespassing. They probably would have been happy. That wasn't what happened yesterday. Nothing. They dropped it. They threw it out.
Amen.
Huh? That's amazing, guys.
Yes, amen.
That is amazing. That is a miracle of the Lord. Because why? They offered their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service. And they were not conformed to the world, but they were transformed by the renewing of their mind. And they lived out the parable of rescuing the widows and orphans in their time of need. They did. They laid down their lives. They went in there and laid down their lives. And God used it. I'm in Revelation 21, Jared. I just want to go there real quickly, piggybacking off of what we did yesterday. Revelation 21. I want to show you something. I think I've shared it on the show before. Revelation 21, and Jared, let's scroll down to verse, let's start 21:6. Excuse me. That'll be good. Let's go to verse 4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. We're talking about after the return of Christ. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Won't you stay with me a second? He said unto me, it's done. Isn't that what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. And now here's God the Father saying it's done. Same word, same thing. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. Watch this. A big rich, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which this is the second death. Well, let me stop right there. Isn't it interesting? The fearful cowards go first. First ones he mentioned are the fearful and the unbelieving. Because remember that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible. And what is unbelieving? Faithless. You don't have faith, you can't please him. You have faith, you do please him. What is fear? Fear is the total, complete absence of faith. So he says at the end, he is more upset. I don't know if he's more upset, but he lists first the fearful and the unbelieving before he gets into the abominable. And into the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all the liars. Before he gets into all those, he says, hey, those of you who are afraid and those of you who are of that little faith. I think that's pretty profound. That's most of us, as we spoke about yesterday. Most of us live in nearly a constant state of fear. And I ain't going to live like that, boy. I ain't going to live like that. So there's another hurricane pounding out there. Amen. Puerto Rico... Puerto Rico is getting hammered. That's the kind of thing you ought to be afraid of, I guess. But I got something else I want to share with you today. And so Lord, just be with me as we move to where we're trying to get here today. There's a lot of distractions going on. A lot of distractions. Somebody mentioned Trump yesterday at the United Nations. First of all, we shouldn't even be in the United Nations. We shouldn't even be in the United Nations. But Trump went in there and he called, what did he do? He called the guy from Korea, Rocket Man. He was in the belly of the beast of the New World Order. And he poked him in the eye. And I'm going to say out there, all of my never Trumper friends, all those who upset to use the P word, and that he swore and he had casinos and he had all that stuff that they all threw out there. I've said this all along. I don't know whether it's for good or for bad, but Donald Trump is president of the United States for such a time. Every one of this, and I don't know whether it's for our good or whether it's for our bad, but I do know this. If those of us, if many in the body of Christ would quit praying against it, hear me. Full of pride, because you said from the beginning that there's no way he should be elected president of the United States. You're so righteous you couldn't support him. And now that he's in office and his decisions are impacting every one of us, many of you still are not praying for his success. Somebody say amen, because I know that to be the truth.
Amen.
They're not praying for his success. And he went in there and he ripped the UN a new one yesterday. I don't know if you watched that. I didn't watch all of it, but I watched enough of it to think, are you kidding me? This guy has got some stones. I was watching a YouTube thing of showing how when he first started talking about North Korea and that kind of stuff, there wasn't any applause. There were applause lines, but there were no applause. The more he went, the greater the applause got. Because see, those bureaucrats, those scumbags sitting there in the UN, they know what's going on. You know they know what's going on. They're feathering their own nest. And he walked in there yesterday and said, "Hey, boys and girls, we ain't feathering our own your nest anymore. You got to feather your own nest." What I think Donald Trump needs to do is they need to set up a resolution. I mean, you think this is crazy? This is what I would do: go up and set up a UN resolution. Tell all of them, if you're for us, then we'll give you some money. If you're not for us, we ain't giving you any money. Because right now we're giving a lot of money and support and military defense to people who hate us and undermine us. How stupid is that? How stupid is that? First of all, that whole place ought to be gone. Anyway, but the big news, which really wasn't big, I'm going to show you something today, okay? Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. See what Fox News is trying to do now, bringing Laura Ingraham back in? They got, Tucker Carlson at 8. Sean Hannity at 9, Laura Ingraham at 10, and now everybody's saying, pounding their chest, oh, conservatism is back.
Losing you, Coach.
What's that?
You're cutting out your internet.
Don't you believe it for a second. Don't you believe it for a second. Keep your eye on the ball. I'm going to show you some stuff today. This came out of nowhere for me this morning, but I just thought it was important enough for me to be able to share it with you. And then before we get too deep into it, I got to show you something else. Hey, guys, do you remember what Watergate was? Do you guys remember? Sure you do. What was Watergate? Well, Watergate was back in times of Richard Nixon. Some guys went in and broke into the Democratic National Convention because they were trying to steal some secrets on what the opposition was doing in the election. I forget, was that McGovern? Who the heck was it? Somebody Nixon was going to kill anybody. So it was going, wasn't even stupid to even be doing it. But he went in and they broke in, had all the Watergate hearings. President of the United States had to resign as a result of it. And then yesterday it comes out, clear out in the open, that they did, in fact, wiretap Donald Trump. Now guys, do you remember that? You remember that? But 6 months ago when they were laughing about that, when Trump first said it, they all made fun of it. And James Clapper said unequivocally, I might be using the wrong word, no way that was ever done. James Comey under oath said, no way that was ever done. No way. And all the media laughing and, ha ha, this guy's crazy. He's making up things. Comes out yesterday. They did, in fact, wiretap the president of the United States. They did, in fact, do it. Folks, this is so much larger. This Richard Nixon just tried to break in to get some files. These guys were listening to every conversation that he was having. And then they go before Congress and lie about it. Comey said it never happened, right? Never happened. That other guy that looks like, I don't even know what he looks like, whoever, he said never happened. Never happened. Never lied under oath. And I was we were talking on our show last week, remember, about a lawlessness, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. When are you going to wake up? When am I going to wake up and understand that there really and truly are two sets of there's their government, and then there's one we think's the government. They're not the same. People call it the swamp. They call it the deep state. Call it whatever they want to. You do know that those people in Washington, D.C. are playing by an entirely different set of rules. It doesn't represent us. Now, could you wiretap the president and get away with it? Could you do that? No, of course not. Huh? Could you do the things that Hillary Clinton's done and get away with? Of course not. Of course we could. Hey, Jared, I want to show this. This was pretty powerful to me. It's just a little 4-minute clip by Judge Andrew Napolitano. And I'm going to move off this. I'm going to try to connect some dots with you today, okay? I'm going to try to connect some dots. Here was Judge Andrew Napolitano yesterday on, who is he on with? Stuart Varney. And it's just 4 minutes. Just listen to this. Hang on, Jared. Russia, right? Huh? Russia. All this other stuff. All keep your eye on the ball. I'm going to show you that here today. Okay. Here we go. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Second.
Right. The president was right. He was being spied on.
Yes. Yes. It now appears that the government acknowledges, in one of two ways, and I'll tell you the difference, that it was in fact spying on Paul Manafort before he ran the campaign, during he ran the campaign, and after he ran the campaign, in Trump Tower. Remember, Paul Manafort had his own business office in Trump Tower, independent of running the campaign from there. Now, we don't know if these were FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court warrants, or regular traditional criminal investigation warrants. If they were FISA warrants, the threshold for getting it is very, very low. The court grants 99% of these. We think that Paul Manafort is talking to a foreign person. We want to know what the foreign person is saying to him. Here's your warrant. But whatever comes from that conversation cannot be used to prosecute Paul Manafort. If they are regular traditional warrants, the threshold is higher. The government has to testify under oath in secret to a judge. Here's the evidence of criminality. Here's the crime. Here's what we think we'll find. And then whatever they find can be used against him. So when Jim Comey, still the director of the FBI, told the Senate Intelligence Committee under oath, I know of no surveillance in Trump Tower, how could he not have known of this if his own FBI was doing it?
Look, all this is legalistic and detailed. I'm looking at it from 30,000 feet. Yes, the Trump campaign was spied on. And yes, but what we don't know is what the information was used for. Was it leaked? I mean, to...
Well, if it was a criminal investigation, Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice couldn't get anywhere near it. But if it was a FISA warrant, Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice can get their hands on it. And then they will know what candidate Trump and campaign manager Manafort are planning to do. And they can use that information to help Hillary Clinton. We don't know if that happened. But that's why what kind of a warrant it is makes all the difference in the world here.
Makes us look like a banana republic.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And all those people who ridiculed the president and ridiculed others who supported the president at the time owe the president a substantial apology. This is not one wiretap. This is capturing everything Paul Manafort said on the telephone, in the vicinity of his cell phone, and on his laptop. I assure you that Donald Trump is caught up in that wiretap. We don't know what he said, but I assure you his words and his voice are all over.
And this was while he was candidate Trump's campaign manager.
Yes.
The government was listening to conversations that he had as the campaign manager for the opposition.
After he leaves the campaign, He retains his office in Trump Tower for whatever his business is, and the wiretap continues.
Are we ever going to get to the truth of this? Are we?
Well,
is this going to be revealed?
Let me tell you this, Bob.
You know what happened? The government used the Obama administration used the machinery of government to intimidate its opponents in the 2012 election using the IRS. They got away with it. Nothing happened. Same thing again now.
That's a felony. If the Obama administration used the subterfuge of national security to surveil Donald Trump and pass that information on to Hillary or her people or anybody else, that's a felony. And whoever did that ought to be indicted.
Is this all part of the Mueller investigation?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And let me tell you about the Mueller investigation. He's under some pressure to do something.
Listen to this.
Because the longer he takes, the more it looks like a fishing expedition. Now, I don't want to bury the lead. They told Paul Manafort they're going to indict him.
They told him?
They told his lawyers they're going to indict him. Now, we don't know what for. My guess is nothing to do with the Trump campaign, some financial impropriety. Then once he's indicted, hey, you want to make a deal with us? What do you know about the big guy?
Okay, I got it. Got it. All right, Judge, thank you.
So Watergate, you get this? I know you do. Don't mean to be condescending, right? After Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, the Obama administration continued to wiretap him. You get this? You understand what happened for Nixon just to send some guys in and get some documents? You have any idea? If there was ever any doubt, folks, that the government is separated from what the people think it is, it's right on the table in front of us there. This is what we're dealing with, but you got to can't take your eye off the ball. Anybody want to say anything? I'm going to try to connect some dots here for you.
And after all that, he still wins by the grace of God.
And yes, Coach, sir. Yes, Larry.
Yeah, you know, your post about United Way this morning, that was really, really eye-opening. I mean, of course, a lot of us already knew all that. But it should be eye-opening for everybody listening out there. And here's a clue for everybody listening out there to pass on to all of your, quote, Christian brothers and sisters, not those pretend people, but your Christian brothers.
Hang on a second, Larry. Jared, go to my Facebook page. Go ahead and continue, Larry.
And here is what you should take away from what Coach so vividly pointed out in his post. But the fact of the matter is, and this is a fact, it's biblically sound. When you give your money to any organization, you're either giving your money to those who are serving Satan, or you're giving your money to those who are serving God.
Amen.
Okay.
Right now, there, Jared. Halfway back.
If the reason for that any organization is not to glorify God, if that's not the reason for the organization to glorify God, then you're giving your money for those who glorify Satan.
You're either for me or against me, right, Larry? There ain't no demilitarized zone.
And I'm going to step on some toes, but this includes the Shriner hospitals and the Shriners. Mm. Now, they may do some, quote, good. Remember what the sentences the Lord gave me to share with y'all yesterday? They may do some things that look like good in small individual cases, but God knows what the overall picture is. And those of you that want to keep supporting Satan in little ways, have at it. This dude ain't doing it.
Well, Larry, it's coming because we're deceived. Good word. Jared, slide down right to the very top. This is what Larry's talking about. I posted this yesterday. I also posted a quote on them. Go good. Look right here. It is. Are you ready, fellas? So I put up on my Facebook page that we use our donations to fight planned murderhood. That's what I put up there. Because why? Well, I'll be darned. United Way. How many of you give the United Way? I remember I was in the public schools. That they twisted your arm and made you give to the United Way. They came around. Well, we want to have 100% compliance. What do we find out? Why the United Way affiliates gave $3 million a year to Planned Parenthood last year. $3 million a year. They gave the plan your money, your donation. And the point Larry was making is if you are not giving to a strictly Christian organization, you're doing some of the devil's dirty work. There ain't no getting around it, fellas. There's no getting around it. No getting around it. Has anybody else yet? Has anybody else in your mind, have you yet been able to make the connection to evil Planned Parenthood and the ungodly left? Have you made that connection yet? They fight for Planned Parenthood like I, like it's the mother load. It is the mother load. I've tried to tell you over and over and over again, the blood of innocent children at Planned Parenthood feeds all this stuff, all of it, all of it. And when was the last time, my dear Christian brother and sister, that you walked into your church and heard a heart-hitting message on abortion? Huh? When was the last time? Can somebody tell me that? You don't have to tell me because I know they don't do it. Maybe on Pro-Life Sunday once a year. Maybe then they'll mention it and say, give your money to the local pregnancy center. Maybe then. But the scourge of the moral issue of our lifetime, the scourge of America, the slaughter of God's precious unborn children, not a peep from the pulpit. Not a hard-hitting peep. Not a peep to the women and the men in there that need to repent of their sins, be forgiven of what they've done, and to do everything they can to prevent it to happen to everybody else. See, it's more than just a political position, folks. This is a powerful perch. Planned Parenthood is a huge, powerful, demonic, political perch. And Coach, we find as Christians are giving money unknowingly to Planned Parenthood. Yes, jump in here.
This is only my opinion, but the reason that these preachers aren't saying anything is because they may assume that there might be someone out in their congregation who has money that may have had or supported and paid for an abortion, and they don't want to tip them off.
Right, sir, because they have an abortion. They need to hear the gospel that there's a mercy, that they can be forgiven of it. But you have to repent of it. And then you have to come out, not only repent of it, but try to prevent it from happening. We're just not there. So there it is, the united, doesn't that sound good? The united way. Can somebody tell me we're united? Huh? Coach, are we united? Yeah.
What they do, I was in the school district for 24 years. They do twist your arm. And I told them, I can't give because of that reason. And they said, well, you could designate an area that it will go to your and it's co-mingled funds. The funds are co-mingled.
Sure. They put all the money in a pot, and then they say, well, we won't give any of John's money to Planned Parenthood. But who do we know where your money is, John? So co-mingle, meaning putting it in the same pot and stirring it up. You're all part of it. I'm never, ever going to give a penny to – I won't give money to the United Way. I won't give money to the Salvation Army unless I put it in the little thing. I could tell you some stories about that. I won't give any money at all to Red Cross. None of them, folks. None of them. See, our guy right now down in Texas, Chad, Sarge, they're not making big salaries. They're not making big salaries. Well, we're picking up some of their expenses, but they're not making big salaries. We could. What if Sarge was working for Past Assault Ministries and we were paying him $150,000 a year, and we flew him in down there and paid $5,000, put him on first class and put him up at some highfalutin hotel and picked up all of his meals down there, and all that money that was supposed to go help the people, right? Clinton Foundation, that's all this stuff is. That's all it is. So then there's something else I want to show you. Thanks for bringing that up, by the way, Larry. Jared, scroll on down there. I think you'll find it. I just put a little quote up there yesterday that I thought was pretty powerful. Sometimes it hits me and I do it right away, and this happened yesterday. Going down a little bit more, Jared.
One more thing real quick while he's hunting that up. There's a whole bunch of people listening right now. You could click on join the huddle button. Be a part of it. We are missing part of the message for our body, for the body of the Salt and Light Brigade.
Yeah, just being in the ear is not enough. That's right.
We are missing part of that input because you are not here to help us and to give your input as the Holy Spirit gives you unction. Join us. Click on that little button. Join the huddle. Join us.
Come on in. Thanks, Larry. Come on in here with us. Jared, scroll on down. That was Rusty talking about. That's not what I wanted to hear. Go ahead, Vince.
Hey, also just like, hey, coachdavelive.com/donate. That's what you do. Not Red Cross, not United Way.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Thanks, Vince. Appreciate that. But Jared, for some reason, you're not finding it. I'm not blaming you. I'm gonna jump here real quick. I'm gonna find it. Because it was one of those profound things that hit me. And I said it and I posted it. And I just think it's good. I'll just say it to you. No, it's way up the top, Jared. Here it is. I'm just going to tell you this. This is very simple, folks. This is why there's no power in the church, okay? The Bible says that the the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. And I think that's in John. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. Yeah, keep now you're coming, Jared. That should be right there. I think it's the last thing I've posted. No, that shows what I know. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. So the Holy Spirit of God now indwells the bodies of fleshly men. You understand that? The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells in Rich and in Chris and in Sarge and in Chad. That same Spirit, the Word became Christ from the dead, is alive and moving in us. When we got born again, that same Spirit came inside of us. So we are now propelled by the Holy Spirit. And we're propelled by the Holy Spirit. The faith without works is dead. We talked about that yesterday. That we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the Word became flesh, now dwells in the heart of men to propel them to do the work of the ministry, to occupy the holy returns, to earnestly contend for the faith. And the church, there's no power in the church, because the church today is doing everything it can to make the gospel simply words again. Just talk. It's exactly what's going on. There's no book of Acts in America today. There's very little book of Acts. You don't see that. That living, vibrant movement where turned the world upside down. They said they turned it down. You don't see that anymore. We cower inside our stained glass fortresses. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men, and then it became in men. And now the Spirit of God lives in us. And you get up and you try to stand up and you try to represent the Lord, and you go boldly for Christ, and they want to shut you up and make the Word simply words again. That's all. That's what's going on. We're fighting our own folks. Fighting our own folks. I told you I had some stuff I wanted to get to you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, Coach, I had this conversation yesterday with some moms, and we were talking in the regards of homeschooling, and really got in this heated discussion with a good friend, you know, defending. And I asked her the simple question. I said, if you had a choice between homeschooling and public school, what would you do? Instead of answering that, immediately went to defending the public school. I said, the reason the problem is, I said, is that we say our children are our greatest assets, but we're not willing to invest in our assets. I said, you know, homeschooling, you have to sit down and financially figure out how you can make homeschooling work. I said, we don't do that. So we all of a sudden, we don't want to homeschool. I said, so we want to put our children in arm's way. You know, and then we want to bash the homeschoolers because we think that we're piety. I said, we're not piety. I said, but my wife and I laid down our careers to make sure that our children were going to be homeschooled and influenced by us. The church.
Dale, I'm sorry, Dale.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, Dale, how do you handle this one? You're a pastor. Folks, how do you handle this? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, see, this comes back to what Larry has just said, right? You actually tell me, you really want me to believe that you can put your children in public school and it's not going to harm their Christianity? You really want me to believe that? Now, your child may be strong. You may be able to send your child in there and maintain their faith. But I'll bet you it's 95-5 of those parents who lost their children because of the public schools rather than those whose children made a difference in the public schools. I bet it's 98-2. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Hey, fellas, the public schools teach no biblical morality. None. The name of Jesus is not permitted to be answered. Oh, you may have a good Bible club at your school. I get it. How about a good Bible club at your church? How about a good Bible club in your home? There ain't supposed to be no good Bible club at the school, along with the homo club and the Muslim club and the future homemakers of America. Just one more club. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose.
Amen.
Coach?
The problem in the, quote, Christian world out there is they have the same attitude about the things you're talking about now as they do about the speed limit. They think they are such capable drivers, they can handle driving faster than what is safe. And they can handle the situations their children are going to run across in school. It's all about themselves and their thinking that they have the ability to be better and do more and be greater than the Word of God says the truth of the matter is.
Amen, Larry.
Sir?
Yeah, I have a question, and I don't think there's ever been a study done about this. What about all those homeschoolers that then go on to university? University is the largest place of sickness, not the 12 that we can still have control over to some extent, but it's the university where they go off on their own.
Yep.
And they live, Sarah, and all of a sudden they have, freedom.
Well, I'd love to answer that, to be honest with you, because my oldest son is now in his final year. He's an electrical engineer major with a double major in math. Okay, so it is a great question because we faced that when we were getting ready to put him into college. And, of course, you know, we went to the college. We, Michelle and I, went to the college. We met with the dean, and we told him, my child will not be part of this organization. He will not do the sleepover freshman, listen, they know who we are. And so my son, we said, you're going to go to college, but you're going to go to an academical college, but you're going to live here at the house. And we literally, when he would come home, we would have communication with him and deprogram him. Give me 2 minutes. I'll share a testimony. Now, listen to this, Coach. His first freshman year, he was looking to be in the FBI or something like that. So he had to take psychology, right? His first class, room setting, the teacher got up there and asked them, what do you think about abortion? My son, who was raised out in front of the abortion clinic, was the only kid who got up and debated with that teacher the entire day. The following week, the next class was on homosexuality. He was the only one that raised his hand. The teacher got so frustrated with him that after that class, this is what she did. She called him up, sidebarred, and said, listen, if I give you an A, will you leave this class? My son, I'm serious, Jonathan. My son said no. He flunked that class, but became a great influence to those students. And we would talk with him every day. All of my kids, my son David getting ready to go play football. I said, that's fine. You can go play ULL or wherever you want to play. I said, but you're going to live at home because we're still influencing you.
There you go, man. You know, listen, Dale. Kids are less mature today than they were a decade ago, a generation ago, right? When I went to school in 1971, I was far more mature than the guys we see graduating now. So emotionally, a child who graduates from high school, 17, 18 years old, when we send them off to college, they're like junior high a generation ago. They're not emotionally, they're not prepared. They're not prepared at all. They have no moral foundation. Very few of them have very solid moral foundation. We send them off to the wolves thinking they're prepared, and they're not prepared. They're just not. So I'm just thinking, somebody want to make I'll give somebody $1 million job right here. I have an entrepreneurial spirit, although I'm not really an entrepreneur. I saw this. You want to make $1 billion? You want to make $5 billion? Here's how you do it. Set yourself up a portable lawnmower repair truck. You can name your price. I drive around everywhere, and it's like almost in every yard I drive by, there's a broken down riding lawnmower. Somebody say amen. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Amen, brother. Yeah. I've been out 17 months. I worked that lawnmower.
I can take some old flunky who knows how to fix lawnmowers and put him in a truck with some equipment, and I could get $150 just for people. Just to show up to repair people's mowers, because people don't have trucks to get the mower to the repair shop. They don't have the time. They don't want to mess with it. But if they could call Jonathan Socia, hey, say, hey, Jonathan, would you come and repair our mower? And he comes in as a shiny truck with all his materials there and fixes the truck and gives him a $200 bill and walks out. They'd be happy as a skunk. But the idea that you have to be college educated to make it in this world is crazy. I just saw this, that the leading occupation that there's going to be a shortage of in the next 15 years are electricians. Nobody's becoming an electrician. Isn't this amazing? See, isn't this amazing? But monkey see, monkey do. We see what everybody else does with their kids. Say, well, that's what I got to do. See, Christian kids, Christian parents who know the schools are bad, but they say, I don't care. It's what we have to do to get him a good job. No, no, that's all a lie. It's all a lie.
That's why we looked at when we went in with this college, we looked at what was going to be the futuristic opportunity. That's why he is a powered electrical engineer degree.
So, I got that, huh?
Yeah. Well, and not only that, I said, son, not only are you going to write your own ticket, I said, but God's calling on you. You're going to have the freedom to do what God has called you to do. So to me, first job is always the ministry. And Jonathan has the calling, and that's the purpose. And you know, but I look at even in the public schools, so I'm debating with these public schoolers, putting five-year-olds in front of transgender women perversely dancing on stage, teachers raping children, you know, children having condoms hand out, you know, oh, you love your child, but yet you're willing to turn them over to the wolves. Are you out of your mind?
It's better for you. They put a millstone around your neck and throw you into the deepest part of the ocean to teach even one of these little ones that believe in me. Right?
Today?
Huh? Yeah, yeah, Raj.
Well, the thing I was going to add is we've been selling a lie to these kids. See, we've told them their most important decision is the job, their career.
Yep.
Believe me, I see weekly that guy who went for the career at 22 and at 30 is struggling in a whole host of ways in life. The biggest promotion is your career. You know, the number one decision that a person makes outside of their faith in Christ is who they marry. That trumps everything. But that's never discussed. It's not discussed at church. It's not discussed in the public. That's the key decision.
You're all over it, Raj. You're all over it. So, boys and girls, I got to do this with you just real quick, even though it's seems like we're shifting gears a little bit. We're not shifting gears. In fact, it's amazing how this is coming together. Hey, Jared. Hey, guys, girls, folks. Keep your eye on the ball. You remember how when Mitt Romney ran for president of the United States against Barack Obama, one of the debates, Romney talked about what a threat Russia was. Remember that? And they all made fun of him. Russia, oh, come on, man. You're living back in the 80s. Well, now Russia's on the forefront. Are you guys really understanding why Russia's on the forefront? You're not. So I'm going to tell you, show you today a little bit. I had a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not going to have time to do it all. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the ball, okay? Jared, do me a favor and click on the sequence is Article 1, Section 10. Excuse me. U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. Hey, boys and girls, there's about to become a monetary shift in America. That's what all of this, Korea, Russia, China, stuff's all about. I'm going to show you something here, okay? Just freeze it right. Well, you guys ever heard of the petrodollar? Does anybody know out there? You don't have to answer. The petrodollar?
Yes.
Can you explain that to us real quick, Pastor Dale?
Well, the way I see it is the way we value the monetary currency of the world is based on oil. That's where the dollar value is. If they destroy the value of the oil, you destroy the value of the dollar.
Well, also the petrodollar, it was universally, I'm talking about worldwide, it was the rule, oil was bought and sold in dollars only.
Bingo. There it is, Larry. When Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard, see, money was always tied to gold. In fact, when the gold standard was set, it was set so that at the ratio of an ounce of gold to a dollar bill was all folks going to be $35. That was the permanent equation. $1, paper dollar. $35 in gold. That was an ounce of gold, 35 American dollars. Okay. We went off the gold standard. Why did we go off the gold standard? We went off of the gold standard so that we could print more money. so people could. You remember the silver certificates? Some of you older folks than me. You remember it used to be printed on the dollar. That's this coin.
I got one.
Yeah, I got a couple of them, Coach. Coach, you just froze.
One is. You guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good. Jim, there's some freezing going on. Ray just texted me. He's having trouble, too. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, it used to be a silver certificate. When you had a silver certificate, it was a dollar bill that guaranteed that you could go to your local bank dollars worth of silver. Silver wasn't very much. It was gold was $35. What was silver? A dollar? Dollar to dollar, silver certificate, is that what it was? Well, when they took us off the gold standard, they did that so they could do inflation. That was Keynesian economics. I guess that's a whole nother story. But that was done so that they could inflate and inflate and inflate and inflate. Now we've inflated ourselves into oblivion. Well, what happened is in the 1970s, this dude named Henry Kissinger shows up on the scene, and Henry Kissinger develops what they call the petrodollar. What the petrodollar did, it was the tying of the American dollar to oil. And it set up a process where no matter where you were in the world, you could only buy oil with American dollars. And the reason they did that is because now America was able to control the oil supply, got into a partnership with Saudi Arabia, controlled the value of oil. You ever ask why we don't pump oil in America, why we're not getting oil out of America? It's because of the devil's deed that we signed with Saudi Arabia. OPEC, remember OPEC? So the dollar was tagged to oil. Oil was tagged to the dollar. And if you were China, you could only buy oil in dollars. If you were in Russia, you could only buy oil in dollars. That's the way the system was set up. And what happened? America got a lot of power around the world. Saudi Arabia, those were sandboxes. Those places have become so stinking rich. Well, boys, the petrodollar is coming to a slow death. It's going to happen soon. Going to happen soon. All of this stuff, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's what's going on in the Middle East. That's what's going on with Korea. That's what just went on with Libya and Syria. That's what's going on there. Because America, see, China is our biggest debtor. In other words, China owns most of our debt. China does. And what's China going to do? Well, they're going to flip that oil thing to where the dollar is no longer the currency where it's already happened. It's no longer the currency whereby all the world has to buy oil. No. Chinese are coming up with a new one. But I'm going to take you back here a little bit of foundation. I'm sorry if I'm talking fast. U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. Pretty easy. Ready here, boys? No state. Oh, interesting, isn't it? Constitution is talking about states. Isn't that interesting? No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque and reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. I'm going to stop right there, fellas. The U.S. Constitution says only gold and silver can be used as a basis of debt, paying debts. Pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Okay, here we go. No state shall, without the consent of Congress, lay any imposts or duties or imports or exports, except what may be absolutely necessary for executing its inspection laws, and the net produce of all duties and imposts laid by the state on imports or exports shall be for the use of the Treasury of the United States, and all such laws shall be subject to the revision. It's ready for this one. And no state shall, without the consent of Congress, state, notice this, no state shall lay any duty of tonnage, keep troops or ships of war in time of peace, or enter into any agreement or compact with another state or with a foreign power, or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. In other words, you can we are not allowed to invade other countries in war. We're not allowed to do it. We're prohibited by the Constitution. So, Coach is trying to lay two things in front of you.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
The states are not allowed to do that. Only the federal government has those powers.
That's right, Larry. And to coin money, gold and silver, gold and silver. And no, we are not allowed to actually invade a country. It's right there, boys. It's right there. Agree or compact with any state or with a foreign power or engage in war unless actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit of delay. Say, Coach, what are you trying to say to us? I'm telling you two things. They've illegally manipulated the money. That's a whole story in itself. But Smedley Butler said war is a racket. And those are the two things that are destroying us. So what's happening around us, and we're, again, keep your eye on the ball. Money, I saw, Roger, anybody out there listening, I saw yesterday. Now, this could be a stretch, okay? All right? This could be an extreme. I said yesterday, silver is going to $400 an ounce. Silver. Gold, possibly to $10,000 an ounce. Why? Why would that be? Can anybody watching right now logically tell me why gold and silver would why?
Inflation.
Causes inflation?
You think gold?
They went to the petrodollar. Inflation, make room for more spending without having anything to spend.
Hey, gold. Fellas, when they do away with the petrodollar, what we're finding out is China and Russia right now are setting up a system whereby the dollar is going. They're not going to use the dollar. I got an article on it. They're not going to use the American dollar. They're creating another dollar that's going to be what? Applied and attached to gold and silver.
Yep.
The world is waking up and said America has screwed us long enough. We ain't going to do that anymore. And we saw the first country just this week pulled off of petrodollars. No longer petrodollars. That's where Russia, all of a sudden. Korea, North Korea. Why North Korea? Because they are being controlled by China. Need somebody to pick a fight for. Man, oh man, oh man. Okay. So which one do I want to show you here? I'll show you that one. Listen, this one's a little edgy, okay? But I don't care. I like edgy stuff. Jared, go down there and click on the bottom one. Brother Nathaniel. You guys know him, right? He's a former Jew, so he loves to criticize the Jews, right? This is the petrodollar scam is breaking down. Let me slow down here real quick. We have funded all of our wars, all of our welfare system on dollar bills from other countries. China now owns so many American dollars that they know aren't good. And you know what they're doing with them? Why, they're buying up American property. China is buying them up. And then they're going to flip on us where the dollar is no longer the strongest, powerful currency in the world. They're going to turn our economic system on its head. Listen to what Brother Nathaniel says here. Go ahead, Jared.
We're in for the biggest change in monetary history since 1971. That's when the petrodollar began and the gold standard stopped. But the petrodollar scam is breaking down. In 1913, Wilson pushed America into the Jew-owned Fed with the individual gold standard. This meant you could walk into any bank and get gold for your dollars. In 1933, Roosevelt took us off the individual gold standard. This meant only nations could get gold for their dollars. In 1971, Nixon took the world off the national gold standard and onto the petrodollar. Not temporarily. And he didn't tell us the whole story.
I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connally to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold.
The real story is that Kissinger cut a deal with the Saudis to raise oil prices in exchange that they sell their oil for dollars only, petrodollars, and leave Israel alone. If they didn't, the U.S. would kill them like it did to Saddam, who defied the petrodollar by selling oil for euros. He had to be taken out. What good is an extortion racket if you don't enforce it? We didn't fight Iraq for oil. We fought for the petrodollar. As soon as we took over, we restored the petrodollar. The petrodollar is worth more than oil, and it's good for the Jews. Gaddafi was next, who tried to sell his oil for gold. The murder was plastered all over TV for everyone to see. Don't mess with the petrodollar. Now, why is the petrodollar so important? America's free ride depends on it. Besides weapons and Hollywood filth, America's biggest export are dollar bills. Everyone in the world needs them to buy oil. For countries to get the dollar, they have to sell us something. Cars, clothes, washing machines, products we used to make. Real stuff or digital dollars? You can't find a better racket than that. Not available to any other country. Worth killing for. If we had to work for the products we used to make, we wouldn't be able to afford any of them. Instead, the Jews at the Fed keep printing dollars and gouge us with interest to keep the racket going. But the scam is breaking down. China just set up an oil exchange that trades oil for gold. And the Saudis are flocking to China in a 50-year change of sides. China already has 11 bilateral agreements with other countries for direct currency exchanges that bypass the dollar. The BRICS recently set up their own currency exchange. Venezuela and Iran are moving in the same direction. China just announced it doesn't want to hold additional dollars, and it's not going to buy any more bonds. They need to start spending. Instead of their dollars buying oil, the Chinese will buy American hard assets, real estate, roads, factories. They just bought Chase Manhattan Plaza. It's a done deal. Smithfield Foods in Virginia.
It would be the largest takeover in American company by Chinese buyer. Smithfield Foods, a Virginia ham maker, is on the verge of being bought by Shangwei. The price, almost $5 billion.
Done deal. Atlantic Yards in Brooklyn and gobbling up homes on the West Coast.
The Chinese are now second only to the Canadians when it comes to buying real estate in the United States. But when they buy big, spending on average $425,000 per property. And most of the time, they pay all cash, preferring big cities like New York and their suburbs.
Heaps of dollars chasing a fixed amount of goods means hyperinflation coming once the buyouts are over. Americans won't be able to buy gasoline and food with their worthless dollars. People will be starving in the streets. The crisis will peel away all the moral rot pushed by the Jews that's been growing like gangrene. Knockout gangs and flash mobs will look like tiddlywinks. America's house of cards is about to fall.
Why do great nations fall?
古希腊,
the ancient Greeks, the Roman Empire, the British Empire, and the United States of America. They all make the same mistake, turning their back on their principles that made them great. America tried to spend and tax itself out of a great recession. Enormous so-called stimulus spending, massive changes to health care. Of course, we own most of their debt. So now, they work for us. Keep your eye on the ball. I apologize a little bit for some technical difficulties today. What's that?
I said bingo.
Bingo, baby. Keep your eye on the ball. All of a sudden, they hate Russia, right? Think about the everything, the Arab Spring, all that stuff. Do you know that Gaddafi wasn't on the gold standard? Do you know that Syria is not on the gold standard? Do you know that Venezuela, which is now being crushed, was not on the gold standard? And
got muted, Coach.
I'm sorry. I was rattling on there. My microphone got turned off. That's just a little bit of it. Just a little bit of to put today to open up your eyes and understand to keep your eyes on the ball. What's really going on? What North Korea is all about? I don't know if I'll get to that tomorrow. North Korea is nothing more than doing the bidding of China, as China is doing everything it can to undermine our economy.
Amen, Coach. You're muted again.
Why is it the Bible talks about gold and silver, but not much about paper? Keep your eye on the ball. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.